Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast. This is the Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast.
Hi guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Nuggets News. Today we're here with our friend Trader Cobb. How you going, Craig?
Good mate, how are you?
Pretty good, thanks. We're going to talk about the signal versus the noise. It's actually one of the few books that I've read from cover to cover, Craig, but it's an interesting topic in general because there's a lot of noise in the crypto markets.
Yeah, there is, and there's been a lot recently too. You know, heaps of stuff going on and heaps of people saying lots of different things, and it's just an echo chamber sometimes.
Yes, and crypto markets being immature, even compared to 12, 18 months ago, we're going to talk about how that's changed in terms of how the markets digest the news, how individuals digest the news. There's lots of noise on crypto Twitter, on these free Facebook groups, and how you can maybe use it to your advantage rather than let it influence your decisions and your emotions.
Yeah, I think that's really important. You know, because it is immature and people are new in this space. I mean, I've been talking a lot to a lot of people lately and on the podcast and whatnot about, you know, and the AMAs have been doing about, you know, the emotion of a lot of people. This is the first time they've invested and they've seen the market come off and they're a bit worried. You know, for people that have been trading and investing for a long time, we've been through these types of things before. It's just part of, you know, what happens. It's just, thankfully in crypto, it happens quickly. So it comes back quickly. It's just, do you buy into the negativity? Like, if you're too influenced by other people's opinions, then it can be a slippery slope, I suppose.
I think a lot of people definitely have told us that they've made buying decisions, buying those bad altcoins back in the day based on other people, what they're hearing with all that noise. And obviously fear as well when we read, whether it be mainstream media news articles or things that people have posted about how much they've lost, and that can cause you to sell at the wrong time. So I guess you've been big on having a plan to reference back to.
Yeah, look, I think it doesn't necessarily need to be the same plan as I've got. I mean, everyone needs to have a plan. I mean, if you consider anybody who's had any success in anything, I'm not just talking about trading or investing, it's, you kind of know what you're going to set out to do. When you jump in your car, there's a certain, you know, sequence of events that need to occur for the car to move forward. And those things are consistent. They have to be the same every single time for the car to move forward. I trade in that sort of way, and I'm assuming that, you know, I know that you invest on a similar type of scale. It's about knowing what needs to occur for you to take action as opposed to being reactive. We let the market come to us. So yeah, big advocate for having a plan, whatever it may be, just make sure you've got one.
Exactly. And how the space has changed now, I guess, is important as well, because we saw last week BitMEX go offline, a few people get liquidated and all that chatter. But we also saw those ETFs get rejected all at once, and the markets didn't really react versus in the past. I think China's banned crypto every year for 5 years, and markets sold off hard and people were fearful. And if you understood what was going on in the long-term picture, that didn't really shake your stance at all. And it's very interesting that we didn't see that the other day. If you had told anyone that we've been in an 8th month correction, sentiment's bad, and all the ETFs were going to get rejected, they would have said, for sure, we're going to end the week lower, but we ended the week higher. So what did you make of all that?
Look, to be honest, when it comes to my trading, I ignore all of it. It's got nothing to do with the way I trade. But, I mean, I think it was all factored in already. I think most of the market, how much negativity has there been out there, warranted or not. It's just, you know, it's almost like people want to be right, even though being right means the market falls and they suffer. They're just like, if I can have nothing else, I may as well be right. Fall. Yes, I'm at least right. Yes, I'm losing money, but I'm right.
Yeah, yeah.
So the sentiment was definitely really negative. So I don't know if I could have got too much worse from there. The very fact that there was the main one didn't get knocked back, the CBOE linked one, I think that was sort of, I guess it's a diamond in the rough out of that bit of news.
Yeah, I think people are going to be very much focused on that now, and maybe we will see an emotional decision on September 30 or beforehand, depending on what happens there. But without going to the charts, we've seen 6,000 or, you know, 5,700, that sort of area, been tested 4 times now. And in trading in general, we don't often see quadruple bottoms or areas get tested without breaking. So technically, what do you make of that now?
Well, there seems to be some sort of a consensus around that. So, it's around 6,000. It's a bit under, it's a bit over, but it's been sort of hanging around that level. I'm certainly reluctant to call it a bottom. I'm certainly reluctant to suggest we won't go lower, but there's definitely support around that level, and it seems to be holding up pretty strong. So, you know, while some we hold above it, and we are starting to creep ever so slowly to the upside at the moment, whether we've got some stability, I'm happy. I don't actually mind if we bang around between, say, 6,000 and 8,000 for the rest of the year. I don't have it. And look, I know that we all want Bitcoin at 50,000 by the end of the year, and we all want to get rich quick, and we all want a lotto ticket that pays off. I get that. But the reality is, you know, if things are more gradual next time, look, if we move to 50,000, I want it gradual because I get more opportunities to enter.
Yeah.
That run-up in December just didn't pull back. There was very few, you could be in early, but more opportunities is better, I think. Slower growth.
Yeah, and for us, we've probably been trading less because there has been a pretty tight range, and I don't want to sit there necessarily as a day trader. And I think from an investing point of view, if you're doing your research and dollar cost averaging, all the good projects have sold off just as hard, 90%, as some of the terrible projects that are never going to bounce back. And that, to me, presents opportunities for, you know, possibly 50 or 100x returns over the next years by positioning yourself now and doing the research. And obviously our professional side of things, where we're helping projects and building out that infrastructure behind the scenes for the whole space to grow, I guess that's become a real focus as well now, like just like all the guests you have on your channel, I guess. And that keeps you positive when you're seeing so many people upstaffing, joining this whole movement.
They're smart, all
believers in this space. They all own a little bit of Bitcoin, and they tell their friends, and it's just growing behind the scenes, even though it's not on the charts.
Yeah, the infrastructure is definitely growing in a huge, huge way. I mean, I interviewed Kavita Gupta just last week. She took on a $50 million fund from Joe Lubin, and they've just raised another $100 million for a public fund. And, you know, she's like a leader in emerging technologies and emerging markets. Like she's a Wonder Woman of sorts. To hear her take on it, it was like, I was so stoked with the interview. I was so stoked, I finally got it, because I met her at Consensus in New York. But just hearing her talk about the space and where she thinks it's going, very different view as to many of the other guests, but one I definitely respect. So yeah, when you're speaking to the top people in the space, or people that are very switched on, that are walking away from, you know, already fairly illustrious careers to join this space, they don't want to walk out with egg on their face. No, they know they're not going to. It's a matter of time.
Yeah. And finally, I spoke about a little bit in a video this week about altcoins and the correlation. And last year, I showed that they're all highly, highly correlated. And I thought it was going to change a bit in 2018. Now, so far, it hasn't. Everything's just tracking Bitcoin, apart from a few exceptions. And it was great to see that they were coins that we've done fundamental analysis on. So I guess that's where we sort of can help each other and play off each other a bit. And as can anyone in the community, you much rather be trading a coin that you believe in long term. So something like,
especially if you're buying it.
Exactly. So I'm not sure if you traded Nano or VeChain, or these are on your scans if they're in the top 100, but some of those are up 70% last week. It's good to see that when there's not much action happening in general.
Well, look, I'll be honest with you. Nano, there was a great trade that did set up, a crypto cradle on the 2 hour. I just wasn't there to take it. The opportunity did present itself. I just wasn't there on it. Before we wrap, I just wanted to touch on one thing with the BitMEX, Alex. I know there's a lot of fear out there and a lot of talk about people, you know, about BitMEX doing this, and a lot of conspiracy theories and a lot of all sorts of things going on. I just want to help people understand how a broker works, and they're effectively a broker. You've got people that are buying and you've got people that are selling. They had to do their work or whatever, and the market shot up. That means that anyone who was short might have got a gap up, so they've lost more. But anybody who was long took the profit on that gap up. Unless there was some sinister way they could see that they were going to make a lot more from it, shoot, like doing what they did, if also doing what was like has been claimed they did. I think that a lot of people waste too much time on these conspiracy theories. Things are going to happen. Markets will be manipulated. Now, whether it's BitMEX or not, I just want people to understand that there's two sides to that story. There's people that made a lot of money, and there's people that didn't.
So it's not BitMEX that really have an advantage. If anything, it gets their platform a bad name if customers aren't happy. Like we say a lot of time, guys, who's on the other side of the screen? Who's on the other side of the trade? And that's how they match orders, I guess.
Correct. So I just wanted to make sure people understood that, it, you know, that would have gone both ways.
Mm. Yeah. And I mean, BitMEX is so dangerous, guys, but I was just saying to Cobb in the pre-interview, it's when the next bull market comes, if you've got a bit in there and you're comfortable with using it and there's big breakouts into new all-time highs, that's when you just want to be disciplined and know how to use it, and there will be some great trades to be had in the future. But don't overtrade now when there's not a lot happening and feel that it's only going up 1% or 2%, so you have to trade on 100x leverage to get a decent move. That's how you shoot yourself in the foot.
Yep, what you learn now is going to help you out when the markets do get a move on. It's do the research now, because when they go, they go.
That's be ready. Any other final thoughts?
No, that was it, mate. I'm pretty happy with that. I just want to make sure everyone understood the BitMEX thing, so it wasn't such a negative news story. Just understand how things operate and you'll be fine.
And what are you looking for now? What sort of levels on Bitcoin to break and get that daily high-low?
I want to. Well, we've got the higher low effectively. That BitMEX spike last week, or I call it the BitMEX spike because that's what everyone's talking about, right? I've kind of ignored that, but we've broken above the resistance that was there. We hold above it now, and if we can push to a new higher high on the 4-hour, that's when I'll start to seriously be looking for opportunities to the upside on Bitcoin. So I'm focused on the 4-hour right now. That being said, there's some amazing trends out there. I mean, I did a video for the your community members just today, showing a lot of stuff that's available, and a lot of alts now trading well against Bitcoin, trending really well because Bitcoin's relatively subdued. So like you say, Nano's one of those.
Yeah, trading well against Bitcoin after it's been a real bloodbath for them for a number of weeks now, so that's good to say as well. Well, thanks for joining us again today, mate, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys, have a good one. Bye. Cheers.
The Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast. Check out TraderCobb.com because experience matters.